Welcome, everyone, to Stack the Pads, a.k.a. your Women's Hockey Division One Robert Morris show. I am here, Owen Kreps is my name. I'll be the showrunner of this, along with my co-host, John Hanna. John?
It's great to be here, Owen. I know we did this last year. Good to be back.
Yeah, I don't know what exact season the Stack the Pads is, because we're sophomores, but we've done it here for 2 years now. I don't know if it was before here the women's podcast was.
I think it was. I'm not sure if it was under a different name or anything like that. They might have combined the two. I'm not really sure.
Anywho, women's hockey has started their play so far. They had an exhibition game plus a
demolish
home series where they demolish Union. We'll talk about that today. But first off, we just want to let you guys know, with this being the first episode, we just want to go over what the contents of the show will be. It'll roughly be a 25-30 minute show from every week on Thursdays at 11:15 a.m.
Yep.
When we record these things.
And we're just going to go over, you know, like game previews, recaps, stuff like that. We're going to try and get some interviews with some of the players, maybe get Coach Paul Colantino in here at some point. And then just some analysis and speculation of the entire team this year.
Yeah, we're both hockey guys, I guess, if you can say that.
Yeah, definitely. And you're really our women's hockey beat writer now for Century.
I try and go to as many games as I can possibly can, and John obviously has a solid hockey knowledge. So we're just going to jump right into things right here. Going back. Well, this week, the Colonials did not have a game at all, which is a perfect time to start this thing up, because they just had it wasn't really a bye week, was it? It was more of just a scheduling didn't happen. They just did not have a game. But we'll go back a couple weeks.
I mean, it makes sense, because the opponent they have this week is just is insane.
We'll preview that with the upcoming weekend against Clarkson. So we're going to go back in time a couple weeks before for the exhibition game, just real quick. I mean, it was an exhibition game, but the Colonials really did battle in this one. I was at that game. A 5-4 loss to Canadian College of Concordia. It really was a game that was not 5-4 the entire game.
No,
the Colonials came back late in this one with Gebhardt and Templeman. And Michaela Boyle, who's turning into something on the top line.
Really appeared out of nowhere. I mean, obviously, she appeared out of nowhere. She was a transfer.
Yeah, from Clarkson.
Yeah.
Who we do play this weekend.
Weekend. We play Minnesota this weekend.
Oh, sorry.
But still, both two great teams.
Two very good teams.
And then you saw the freshmen get involved there. Mara Wagner had a goal.
Yeah, the new players on this team with so many losses with Maggie Legue, Kirsten Welsh, Lauren Bailey, Amber Rennie, Caitlin Sadaway, Sarah Caronta, I believe.
I think Caronta's gone, yeah.
Yeah, so those, if I remember correctly, those were all the seniors we lost. So definitely a lot of depth pieces, especially on the blue line, looking to step up. And in this exhibition game, Michaela Boyle had two goals with an asterisk. Her first goal was disallowed.
You were at that game. Did you think it should be? Should have been.
It was goaltender interference, I guess. I don't know. Exhibition games. I mean, well, it was a one-goal game, so you probably would have wanted that one back. But she did have a nice goal shorthanded, though. She played with Gebhardt on the penalty kill. Gebhardt found her on a 2-on-1, and she just buried it, which was nice, because the loss of Amber Rennie is definitely going to be a big one on the first line.
Yes, it is.
With Templeman and Gebhardt, so. Good to see. Boyle looks like she's slotting in there so far. Also, the power play is another area where she's been slotting in, because I asked about how, like, the power play has been very experienced with, like, Emily Curlett, Sarah LeCavalier, Templeman, and Gebhardt. They've all played with each other for at least 1 to 2 years now. Yeah,
they have.
And then a player that hasn't, Boyle, she's fitting in already, which is nice.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we've mentioned Gebhardt and Templeman like 3 times in this show already, but they're just been insane.
Already, yeah. Which leads us into the first weekend of the season against Union. first, it was a home series, which was nice for the Colonials. They got to wear their third jerseys.
Which are, I love those.
Which were super nice, yeah. Gebhardt said that in an interview that she, like, was even more motivated to, like, start, like, playing because it made the team even more excited. And she scored a hat trick in the first game against Union, 6-1 win. Really, really spectacular Colonial hockey.
And Reagan Kirk, her first ever game in a Colonial – or first ever regular season game, she was insane.
Yeah, she is definitely, like – honestly, to be honest here, I didn't know much about her coming into the season, and she is already turning out to be, I believe, Desmet got the second start, right?
Yeah, Desmet got the second start.
And she posted a shutout in it as well, with the 5-0 game two, but
I mean, she had a
good problem to have here.
960 save percentage.
Kirk did?
Yeah.
Yeah. She only let in one goal, which was just a fluke, and in the post-game interview, she was like, wow, I have many more games I can get a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
She got the win in her first collegiate game, so good for her. Props to her. She's definitely looking like a hopeful starter. And if not, you have Desmet, who posted a shutout, 1A1B type situation there.
Yeah, I was talking to Desmet after the game, and she just said that one of the big things the team has been working on in general, because the loss of defense and was communication.
Yeah. In the first Union game, I'm not going to lie here, we really did stick it to Union. We scored 11 goals on the weekend.
Yes,
but
we did.
There were some periods where just the Colonials controlled the offense in their offensive zone, just the entire period. And I asked Kirk after the game, what do you have to do to just stay focused there, like when all of a sudden you get a random like burst of offense from the opposing team? She just said to always stay focused, no matter what's happening. And she did, only let in one goal on the entire weekend with her first collegiate start. So props to her and to Smet. I'm really liking this goalie tandem.
As am I. Because obviously loss of Lauren Bailey last year, big main question marks. Desmet played well in the couple games she had last year, but I think she's really stepped it up this year during training, and we have a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah. Reagan Kirk, she won the 2019 International Ice Hockey Federation Under-18 World Championship. She was named for Team Canada, and she was named tournament MVP, as John brought up on Twitter the other day.
Yeah, and she had great stats in juniors as well. In 16 games, 1.25 goals against.
That's very good.
And a 961 save percentage. So
anything over like 913 in college hockey, that's like good. That's really good.
Even professional.
Even
like,
yeah, even.
So a 961 is insane.
So first game, quick recap, because a lot of goals were scored. I got to pull up the game recap here. Gebhardt had a hat trick.
Yes, he did.
Templeman had a crazy play that was set up by Gebhardt really late in the period, where it was a set face-off play. Gebhardt just won it forward and shot it off the goalie's pads, and Templeman just buried it. That's definitely a set play they worked on in practice. It's crazy.
Here we go. Gebhardt, 3 goals, 2 assists.
Diffendahl, correct?
Yeah, Diffendahl had a goal.
A nice tip.
Yeah.
Off of Joelle Fiala, if I remember.
Yeah. Krasowski with a goal.
Yeah, she is turning into something. Like, she's been on this team for a while now, and no offense to her, but, like, she's not a huge name player. But
no.
Already she has, I believe, 2 goals on the season.
I think somewhere. So. And she had, like, 1 all of last year, was it? I think.
Yeah, so doubling her goal total. So, yeah, that's the type of performance. Even if it's not, like, a freshman or a sophomore, I believe she's a junior.
I think so.
So she, like, players like that just coming out of nowhere.
No, she's a sophomore.
Oh, she is a sophomore.
Yeah.
And just generating offense, which is awesome. I believe didn't she score the first goal in one of these games?
I think so. First goal of the first game.
And then in the game you went to...
Well, Templeman with 4 assists.
4 assists.
Yeah.
In game one?
Yeah.
And a hat trick.
Yeah.
7 points.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, she also had a goal in the first game. Let's see. She ended up only with... No, in the second game, she ended up with 2 assists.
Okay.
So she's still with 7 points, but...
Yeah, crazy. So on the weekend in total.
Yeah.
11-1 in the total series. So this was just an offensive performance. And it's a good type of matchup. We saw with men's hockey, this weekend.
They played Michigan Tech.
You played a tough team. I don't know how – this is a question that we could ask just to, like, any team per se about how – what are the types of games you want to start the season off with?
Do you want to start it off with a cupcake? Or do you want to start
– yeah, with a tough opponent where you can get, like, learning experiences like we saw with men's hockey. They had a 2-1 overtime loss, which was growing pains, and they lost 7-0. But do you want, like you said, a cupcake where you – beat this team 11-1 over the
games. It's not like Union's a bad team. I mean, sure, they're not terrific, but okay, never mind. I had them they only had 4 wins last year, excuse me. Their highest win total over their career was 11, so, and that was in D3, so excuse me.
Not to give anything away from them, they did play well, but I really just am liking this Colonial Hockey style.
I am as well.
So we're going to go into a quick, we're going to go to an in-depth line-by-line preview of this team with it being the first episode. And obviously these lines are
subject to change as always. But
as of right now, the top line is Gebhard Templeman, of course, and Michaela Boyle, the transfer.
From Clarkson.
Absolutely phenomenal.
That line is killer.
I don't think there's much to be said, considering we're going to do this podcast every week for the entire season. We're going to have a lot to talk about.
I think last year it was either this one or the women's soccer one, where we mentioned Schleicher all the time.
James Schleicher and JC Gebhard.
Yeah, we mentioned them just 24/7 because they were always on that score sheet.
Gebhard already just leading the entire CHA and just about every category right now. She did last year. She's not too far away from...
all time.
Yep.
I think she's 38 behind. And her career points for the Colonials.
Yeah.
She's 38 behind... what's her face? God, I'm blanking.
Yeah, me too. Shoot.
I know who she is.
Brittany Howard, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about it is her lowest career point total was 37.
That's very solid.
So she needs one more point than her career lowest to beat Brittany Howard for most points all time for the Colonials.
I think she's fully capable of doing it.
Oh, definitely.
Especially like with it being her senior year and everything. She stated in an interview that her goals this year were just to do what she did last year and then some, win the regular season title again and go to the NCAA tournament, which I think that's some reasonable goals that this team can knock on wood, make. So, yeah, the first line, Gebhard, Boyle, Templeman, they're on that's essentially the first line of the power play unit as well, because you got LeCavalier and Curlett there on the back for the points. That's going to be the line that is
It's the driver for that team.
My worry and my concern is this the only line that can score?
I don't think so. I think we saw in both those Union games that they were able to get goals from other places. You know, obviously Krasowski.
Yeah.
I think they're in good shape for.
Paul Colantino does play this line often, which.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
It's like having Crosby on your team and not playing him.
Especially with Malkin. You have to play this line. Sometimes they double shift. Sometimes he just puts Gebhard out there with a line. I don't know. I hate to say it, but if an injury does happen, like I remember Gebhard was out for a game last year at the end of a game. Does the offense, like, die down? Because Gebhard and Templeman drive the entirety of offense.
They do.
Even if they're not even out there.
They're like, on the bench supporting. I mean, obviously the whole team does, but.
I'm saying if they're, like, they get the puck in the offensive zone, dump it in, and make get an offensive zone faceoff. Or they just change on the fly and get the second and third line out there with Diffendahl and Krasowski and. I'm a little bit worried that this team's relying too much, but we're 2.5 games in so far. I really think someone will be able to step up.
I think we have them on the team. They just the freshman who has to get involved because this was a big freshman class.
So the second line as of the Union games was Kurzawski, Marcuse, and Rogers. I really like Marcuse on the second line there.
I like Allie Rogers.
Yeah, she's been solid so far.
Transfer from Duluth last year, yes. Played a couple games, but.
And then as we mentioned, Kurzawski, 2 goals already on the year.
Where'd she come from?
Yeah, no offense to her, but she is. But also props to her. She is coming out of nowhere and really improving this team. She can continue that. That is a really big addition for the Colonials.
Yes. Two goals this year, but one in each game.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were just – well, I mean, one of them was a great tip on a – I think it was a – no, who was it on the shot? I think it was Curlett maybe on the shot.
Possibly. I don't.
But then she had a nice goal the other game, the second game.
Yeah. So you have your leadership there. So Rogers, not a underclassman, she's a junior, but she is somewhat inexperienced with this team because she just got here at the end of last year. And Krasowski, just a sophomore now, and you have that leadership with Marcuse being an upperclassman there in the center. Colantino does play that line a lot, especially yes. Marcuse. She wins faceoffs like a champ, and that's your penalty killer, second line power play.
She's one of the best defensive forwards on that team.
Yeah, absolutely, and she will be relied on heavily in this upcoming year. And then the third line with another upperclassman, Diffendahl on the right side with two freshmen. Joel Fiala and Mara Wagner. Two of them have found themselves on the score sheet so far. Joel with an assist on a Diffendahl goal, and Wagner with a goal in an exhibition game. Hopefully these can be really solid additions for the freshmen, because who knows, with an injury, they're going to be moved up in the lineup.
And I think Diffendahl last year showed she could drive offense, but this year is going to be the big key for her on that third line. Obviously, with the two freshmen, she has to add that leadership as well.
Yeah, just like the second line with Krasowski and Rogers, with Marcuse being the leadership, it's Wagner and Fiala being the younger players, and Diffendahl with the leadership approach. And then the fourth line with Leah Marino, Maggie Burbage, and Courtney Kuhlman.
I mean,
that's a solid depth fourth line. Marino's got some experience there. I believe she's a sophomore.
I think so.
Burbage is a freshman.
I think Coleman's a freshman.
Coleman is either a sophomore or a freshman. It's a young fourth line there.
Yeah, they're not very experienced, because if Coleman and Marino, I mean, they didn't play many games last year.
They were on the roster, though, and this was a regular season championship team, so mm-hmm. Your depth players
are better than...
Yeah, better than the average depth players. And then on defense, overall in the offense...
They rely heavily on that first line.
And it's not like... It's not really a situation where you can spread out the offense on the first line. You can't put Templeman on like the second line.
You have to
keep Gensel and Crosby together, or Pasternak and Bergeron together, just the same as you have to keep Templeman and Gebhardt together.
Yeah.
And
then their depth and young players need to make that next step.
Yeah. And we have seen them, well, just make their first step, considering half of this team is freshmen, with Wagner and Fiala already proving himself offensively capable. I'm really confident in the depth on this team. A little shaky on who can score when Templeman and Gebhardt get shut down, but I'm still confident in that.
The good thing about them is you didn't really see it much last year. I don't think they can get shut down. They're so dominant. I mean, they might against a great team like Minnesota, but against these other CHA teams, I don't think so.
Yeah,
but
we will definitely see this weekend.
The biggest question mark is definitely on defense.
Yeah, the defense it really took a hit, not only with the absence of Welsh and Lagu, who graduated, but Wason Rice, I don't know what she's injured with. She is injured. She hasn't been playing so far, which Emily Harley has been pushed from. She is a valuable depth offensive player, and
she
now
is.
She's back on defense. So that kind of gets rid of some of your depth on offense if you put her back on defense. She's currently on the top pairing with Sarah Le Cavalier. A little bit of a question mark, considering I personally don't know about her defense. Emily Harley, if she can play defense, if she has in the past. She has looked fine so far overall games.
She's I don't know. This is probably have no influence, but her brother.
Thomas Harley?
Yeah. He plays defense now, drafted obviously by
Dallas Stars.
Yep, 18th overall. So you never know if there's something in the genetics that's possibly defensive, but
I think LeCavalier is just a solid anchor. Not only off, she can obviously contribute offensively, but Curlett is more of an offensive presence. She is a solid stay at home, but two way type of defenseman. LeCavalier is. She's very responsible defensively.
I think LeCavalier is the built-in replacement. While Curlett's obviously going to try and replace Kirsten Welsh.
Yeah.
We'll see how that does.
It is worth noting, though, Kirsten Welsh missed a couple games last year.
She did.
A couple weekends just of series because she was hurt. And so the Colonels got a taste of what it would be like without her.
And another thing, they're separating Curlett and LeCavalier.
Yes, they did, which I like because it's like
you need to spread the
especially
with an inexperienced defender like Emily Harley who – has she played defense to this point?
I don't know. That'll be a question I'll have to ask here coming up this weekend about Emily Harley.
Yeah, we'll see. She has to see how she does. And
She is a big presence there on that. She's tall.
She is.
And she's able to move the puck offensively. We'll see if she can do it defensively. So the first pairing, LeCavalier Harley. Second pairing, Emily Curlett and Hebert, who has a men's hockey connection, right, John?
Yeah, two of her brothers play for the men's, Cameron and Grant Hebert. But she's a freshman, obviously, so it's all about improving for her, I think.
We did see her on the top pairing, Allison Hebert with Curlett. It really kind of was just weird. They switched.
I think those first two are more of like a,
1A, 1B.
Yeah, you know. It's not really a first and second, depending on how the game's going for now.
But, yeah, I like how they separated Curlett and LeCavalier because those are your two big presence defensemen. Both of them can be very solid defensively and offensively, so it's good to separate them like that.
To give them with the unexperienced people. Yeah. And then, obviously, so they're not – you don't have one line that's just a complete liability potentially.
Yeah, and then your third pairing, Gillian Thompson and Behrman for your third pairing. And then just worth noting, Janie Sandoval – Did you tell me that she was hurt now?
I didn't say she was hurt. I didn't say that.
Oh.
I don't think I said it.
She's an extra forward that has moved back to defense. She played forward on the fourth line last year, and now she's at the extra defensive because of the absence of Wason Rice. And you only have six defensemen to begin with, and you already lose one. So.
Can I talk real quick about the emergence of Gillian Thompson this year?
Yeah, she's very key.
Last year in 28 games, 2 points. This year, already 4 points, assists. She's going to be a key defender on that third pairing, either with Anna Fairman or Janie Sandoval, or probably when she gets back, Wason Rice.
Yeah, absolutely. Wason Rice, I believe, was paired with Legault last year.
That sounds familiar.
It was either Legault or Welsh. I knew it was like one of the senior defensemen, so they did the same type of thing with LeCavalier being a senior and Harley like being an inexperienced defenseman, giving the leadership presence type thing. So she definitely has a lot of experience. Wason Rice so far, a lot of learning things, and Gillian Thompson as well will be definitely reliable.
Now junior or now sophomore? Excuse me.
Yeah. Both of them sophomores. Rice when she comes back. So the overall defense.
Has Coach Paul said what Wason Rice is out with, or have you heard that?
The last time I asked about an injury, he was like, well, we usually don't talk about injuries here. And that was with J.C. Gebhardt. So I don't know.
I mean,
I can ask this weekend.
I asked Schooley after the first game against Michigan Tech last week who the starting goalie was for the second. He did not give me an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about coaches. A coach would look at, you're probably familiar, the Joe Theismann injury.
Yeah.
And say it's a lower body injury.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
That's all they'll say.
But, yeah, this defense is the biggest question mark for this team.
Yeah. And we already mentioned the goaltending, which we'll go over here real quickly. Reagan Kirk got the start in the first game, Ariel DeSmit in the second game. You also have Molly Singwald there as your third goaltender.
Kirk
they
is
all have experience. Kirk, is she the starter? Possibly. If not, it's a 1A, 1B
type
situation.
Yeah, it's definitely 1A.
I think you have a very good goaltending tandem no matter what.
Yeah, we'll have to see if, you know, the 1A, 1B gets sort of that idea of competition, you know, the disgruntled locker room, see if that – hopefully it doesn't, but we've seen it happen before, you know, in Vancouver with Schneider.
Yeah.
So we've seen that happen before. But I think all these players get along pretty well.
Yeah, they absolutely do, especially with everything they've been through with the championships and the, I don't know, just the overall college sports type of just experience. So overall, solid team.
Very solid.
Absolutely solid, especially with Gebhard and Templeman leading the offense and Carlette, LeCavalier on the back end. And two very solid goaltenders. And the man behind the bench, Paul Colantino,
who's
been there for forever. And he's got the respect.
Good coach as well.
So what are your expectations for this team going forward?
I honestly think the CHAs this week is, or this year is weak.
Right.
I don't think there's any team really that stands a chance against the Colonials.
They were picked second in the CHA, which is funny because guess who they were behind? Mercyhurst.
Yeah, but I think this, based on the additions, you know, of Michaela Boyle, you have a full year of Allie Rogers, Reagan Kirk, I think this team can go far.
To the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And I really think so as well. With it being Gebhard's senior year, I really think she's just going to
go full on.
Push this team as far as it can possibly go.
The only thing that worries me is the lack of experience in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We saw that last year. They lost to Syracuse in the finals.
After they beat them to win the regular season title, they whooped them like 5-0 just to beat them. So easily could have beat this team again. But, yeah, like you said.
It's all about experience. That experience, yeah.
Yeah, my season expectations are very much the same. I really, really like this team. And, obviously, I cover them as much as I possibly can. So I obviously want them to do well.
Since you mostly cover the – which team do you think is better, men or women's? I know – obviously we know who'd win in a game because
okay.
But, Jelly's like, in
just
a vacuum.
Overall, in a, okay, I'm going to say women's because I think men's – I think it's because the men's hockey team has just so many tougher opponents and it's a higher level of play and they are more inexperienced. Well, both teams are inexperienced with younger players, but – I don't know, like, they lost a lot last year.
They did.
And we still have J.C. Gebhard on the women's team and Sarah LeCavalier. And
next year is going to be the real question mark for this team.
For this team, yeah.
How are you going to replace
Gebhard? Templeman will have to not even – she'll have to jump up instead of step up. She will just have to elevate her game, which she already is fully capable of. But the question is she only good with Gebhard? I don't think that's a question we should be asking.
No, I don't think it's true either. I think she can, maybe not to the same extent, but I still think she'll be able to put pucks in the net, whether it's with Gebhard or with one of these up-and-coming freshmen.
That'll be a question for next year, though. But as of right now, the current matchup is against Minnesota State, who is a very good team.
Number two in the country.
4-0 overall, 2-0 in their conference. Obviously, win streak of four. They are very, very, very talented team.
Yes. Do you think they have a chance?
Yes. I don't know. It'll be a really, really, like we said earlier with the men's hockey type thing, with what game do you want to start the year? I really think this will be the true start to the year, not taking anything away from the Union series. But this will be the really, like, true test of strength for the Colonials if they win these games.
Because you have awesome. This one, and then you have Clarkson next week. Yeah. Clarkson's number four.
Yeah. If they win these games, awesome. If they don't, and they still battle, good.
I think if they battle, I mean, it's really not much to them. But if they battle this weekend, I think we could see them getting ranked.
Possibly.
I know
they should argue.
They're getting – I mean, they got some votes. I think they got two for the USCHO votes. But I honestly think this can be winnable. They obviously lost to Minnesota by a combined score of 11-1 last year.
Yeah.
But Minnesota, they lost their leading scorer.
Yeah, well, here on their preview, it says the Gophers, they've returned over 70% of their scoring from last year.
Yeah, sure, they've returned, but they lost their key scorer. Yes. They lost Nicole Shamel, who graduated and went to Minnesota Whitecaps. And then you also lost your fourth scorer in Kelly Panic. She had 31 points.
They are returning Grace Zumwinkle, who has 25 goals and 16 assists last year. Also, Taylor Heisey, 13 goals, 22 assists.
And Amy Potomac.
Amy Potomac, 11 goals, 20 assists. And Sarah Potomac is Minnesota's active career leading scorer.
Wow.
Which is a very tough task, being it's Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah. Four of their six defensemen have already scored a goal so far. So that's
fun.
And they've outscored their opponents 23-2 in four games. They've scored 23 goals in four games.
It's in their goal.
Reagan Kirk, Ariel DeSmit, Molly Singwald, good luck.
Yeah, and then speaking of Minnesota's goaltender, the one with the most games played, Sydney Scobie.
Yeah.
Take a guess. What's her goals against?
Perfect.
Nope, not quite.
9-8.
Goals against, not.
Oh, goals against?
Yeah.
0.9.
Lower, 0.3.
Oh, how?
Four games. I mean,
what's their save percentage?
984.
Yeah, that's, yeah, wow.
They're three goalies that have played. Alex Goldstein has a perfect game, zero goals against, 100 save percentage.
Yeah.
Scobie, we've talked about. And then Michaela Paul, 923 save percentage and a three goals against. So.
Oh, okay, press her in.
Please. And then Olivia King hasn't played a game yet.
Yeah, well, it'll definitely be a test for the Colonials, not just this weekend, but next weekend with the Clarkson series. Be sure to tune in to RMU Century Media for all the recaps. I'll be at you'll be at the first game. I'll get the second game.
I'll be at both the games, so men's and women's on Friday.
Yeah, so I'll be at both games Saturday.
Are you doing play-by-play for any of the games? Are you doing any TV stuff?
RMU TV isn't.
Oh, we're not?
Yeah, I don't think RMU TV is doing it until next weekend.
Mm. All right.
So, yeah, we'll catch you guys at the game if you
want to show up. Students are free.
Definitely support this team. This is the team you want to – well, one of the teams you want to really support.
This is one of the best teams on campus right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not saying much, but this is one of the best teams on campus, and it's one of the best winter teams. Men's Absolutely. And women's basketball are very good, but
– Yeah, hockey just in general. It's just a fun sport to watch, and especially if you're new to the game, women's hockey is the perfect place to start because it is slower than men's hockey, and I don't know. It's really fun to watch.
It's not as violent because hits usually or most of the time result in penalties.
And Kirsten Walsh is gone, so who's now a ref.
Which is
– Yeah.
She ref the Pittsburgh Buffalo prospect game, right?
Yeah, she ref in Buffalo for the prospect challenge.
Yeah, well, she ref the Pitts. I know she ref.
She did ref the Penguins Sabres prospect game. If you call the Penguins having prospects a thing. Anyways, we'll catch you guys this weekend. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to wrap it up right here. We'll catch you guys next week. I'm Owen Krepps.
I'm John Hanna.
And we'll see you guys next week. Go Colonials.